Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For me, it's about turning the tape on, and it's about finishing the season strong. I think it comes down to December ball and playing your best ball now. What I did earlier doesn't really matter.
Nothing here to see, just a kid me, trying to cut some tea, trying to figure it out.
You know, it's interesting, guys. The voice of Ha Ha Clinton Dix, who I thought might have been more front and center this week, because Lord knows what this one probably means to him. A Pro Bowl player in his first three seasons with the Green Bay Packers. Things didn't go quite as well in the fourth year. Eventually was dealt to Washington. Washington did attempt to re-sign him in the offseason, but he chose to come and be a Chicago Bear on a one-year prove-it deal. And I don't know what you guys think, but I turn on the tape. I think he's played his best football the last three or four weeks. He has gotten very physical, which is something that was the rap on him in Green Bay, that he didn't really want to get all that physical. And really part of the problem with the defense that has been better in recent weeks is both he and Eddie Jackson appear to be playing their best football at a time when it couldn't be more important, facing Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams.
Yeah, and a lot of credit goes to that Bears defensive unit, right, Pat? Because if you looked at it, the Cowboys' second drive after they gave up that 17-play, 75-yard, 29-minute, no, you know,
first drive
of the game, they're on the one-yard line, I think it was, one- or two-yard line coming out. And you say the names that were across the board there, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, Nick Kwiatkowski, mm-hmm. Brent Urban playing left defensive end, and you realize that, like Hub said, the guys who were still in there, and credit to Coach Chuck Pagano, they've raised their level. And even, you know, the guys who filled in have played well, but guys like Ha Ha Clinton Dix, Eddie Jackson, Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, these guys, and Prince was out last week too. I mean, Kevin Tolliver was on the field on that one-yard line, one-on-one with Amari Cooper. I mean, that's who they stopped the Cowboys with. That's who this defense has been playing with, and a lot of credit to them.
And a lot of credit goes to Ryan Pace as well for finding guys that can fill in for those injured guys. And that's what happens at this time of the year. When you start getting the inactive list, you start seeing some stars and starters that are out. And unfortunately, the Bears have a lot that are on IR that can't even come back. But, yeah, the backups are playing well. And one thing that you look at Ha Ha Clinton Dix, you can look across the field today as Adrian Amos. How did that work out? You know, are we happy having Ha Ha Clinton Dix over Adrian Amos? And I was looking up the stats. They're almost identical. Right. I think they both have two picks. I think Adrian Amos might have three more tackles, and that's it.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think we lost anything. Well, and that's a good thing.
I like Amos's game just because I think he matches with Eddie Jackson well.
Yes.
And I think next year, I think that the Bears need to look into someone like Amos just so Eddie Jackson can play center field, do what he does best, right? Because right now, Ha Ha and Eddie are interchangeable, and they move him down the box and back. And Amos, even when you watch the way Pettine uses him, he'll play linebacker on a lot of downs, and he's a box safety, and he's not flashy. That's what people don't like. He does it, but he's very consistent, and he's one of those guys, Pat, that you talk about, you win games with a guy like Amos.
Yeah, and then you got to talk about his, you know, let's put our GM hat on, the contract. You know, you kind of went and got Ha Ha Clinton Dix on the cheap, and is Adrian Amos worth that amount of money? I don't know if he is, but you're right. He is he's a football player.
Right.
He's a guy you want on your defense. He's a guy you're gonna win with because he's gonna do the right thing, but he doesn't have the flash.
Especially with Eddie Jackson coming up, right?
Yes.
Hub. So
yeah.
Eddie Jackson's coming up and you have to make a business decision there, but still think if they can find somebody late in the draft or somebody next year cheap for free agency, maybe a little better match for Eddie Jackson so he can do what he does best.
Yeah, the other noticeable difference is Amos costing the Packers $9 million against the cap, Clinton Dix $3 million with the Bears. That $6 million in cap space can be a big deal.
Yep.
Guys, this hour on The Score is brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. And I want to set the table again for everybody. Of course, you've got the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show here at 670 The Score featuring Olin and Patrick. I'm Hub. Go visit Ameristar's new sports book in East Chicago as soon as you get a chance. Also, we are out and about today. We are at Chicago Q Restaurant at 1160 North Dearborn. What a great, great spot. And one of the reasons we're here, guys, is because today is the annual WBBM News Radio Tailgate Throwdown. And we've got some pretty good cooking going on here on the spot. As a matter of fact, the judges are here. James Big Cat Williams, who, when he's done eating and judging, will be joining Patrick and I on the postgame show. Emory Moorhead, tight end on the 85 Chicago Bears Super Bowl team, is here as well. And today, there is going to be a new member of the Grilling Gridiron Hall of Fame inducted. Again, this promotion for our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. And just the Chicago Q Restaurant in general, guys, you take a look at the menu and you say, I'm staying all week. It's really a great spot. Lots of street parking available. So come on out and see us. If you can't make it out and stay with us, we've got the rest of our Bears pregame until noon. We will have postgame immediately following the final gun with Patrick and James and myself. And then post, I'm guessing you guys, are you back in the studio or are you back over
here? We're in the studio, yeah.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Well,
you got to ask Adam.
Yeah, ask Adam, but he won't let you know when you walk in the wrong place. Thanks, Adam.
We will have Big Ant, Anthony Heron, and, of course, Olin with post. They're going to take you right up to tonight's Sunday night football game. And it's a really good one, guys. You got the Buffalo Bills visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers. You want to catch that right here at the Score. Actually, I'm going to be listening to Olin and Anthony on my way to the airport. I am off for New Orleans. I'll be doing the Colts-Saints game tomorrow night with the national call for Westwood One, and you will hear that on the Score as well. So this is the only place you want to be for the best in NFL action all weekend long. But for the next next 7 hours or so, it's Bears-Packers, guys. And I want to bring us kind of back to where we started with some critical matchups. And Olin, I think one of the reasons the Bears' offense has been better, there's no question about that, and a lot of it has to do with Mitch. But a lot of what has made Mitch better is, A, Matt Nagy starting to do more of what makes him good. But he's able to do that because of the improved play on the interior of the offensive line and the improved production at the tight end position. Had a really interesting talk to Harry Hiestand for actually a fair amount of time. I'm losing track of time. It was Monday or Tuesday of this week. And Harry really talked about, you know, Rashad Coward isn't there yet. And you don't know what he's going to be. But for a guy who was a defensive lineman a year and a half ago, and you look at the competition he has faced since they put him in the starting lineup, and, you know, one week you got Snacks Harrison, and then here comes Aaron Donald, and then next up it's going to be DeMarcus Lawrence and that crew, and then you come back and Mike Daniels is out there, and today you're going to have Kenny Clark. And Harry really believes that this kid is coming on, and just you talked about it on the communication that as a group, the three on the inside have made a big difference, particularly in that running game.
Yeah, and you could even throw Fletcher Cox in there, right? But if you talk about the offense's improvement, Pat, and me and you have talked about this before, the guy I thought was having the worst year for a long time was Coach Nagy.
Yeah.
I thought his play calling was really bad. I thought he wasn't featuring what his offense did well. And if you want an example of that, you go back to the New Orleans Saints game after the bye week, and you watch the plays that were called. And they only had 7 run plays called, right? And they were running behind Trey Burton with a toss to Miller with Montgomery blocking and it caused a fumble, right? And they're giving Tariq Cohen inside zone handoffs, right? And you start to get frustrated because what did Coach Nagy say in London? He said that I know what's wrong with the run game, and I'm going to fix it. Tremont Williams told you in week 1, he said, the way you beat the Chicago Bears is you make Mitch Trubisky play quarterback from the pocket, right? In turn, what did Coach Nagy do? He made Mitch Trubisky play quarterback from the pocket. So the improvement to me has been, look, you never can tell. James Daniels is doing a nice job blocking. You can never tell what the communication is when you're watching the game. Mm-hmm. You just cannot. You can't tell what guys are doing. And today, to be honest, is their first test that their communication will be under stress since they made that move.
Yeah.
So today's a big game.
And it was interesting to go back and watch week 1 against the Packers and, you know, kind of remember that game and what was wrong with it. And everything was wrong with what you just described, that Mitch just can't stand behind the O-line and read a defense. He can't count to 3 or 4. He just needs to count 1 to 2. You get him out of the pocket or whatever. But what summed up that first game, and I forgot, There was a first and 40.
Right, the penalties.
So yeah. The penalties, everything. So just to get into first and 40, everything has to go wrong, and that's summed up the entire offense for the first few weeks. And finally, now Matt Nagy is calling a Mitch Trubisky-friendly game plan.
And it'll be interesting because the matchups today, right, when you watch football games, it's kind of like a boxing match, okay? Styles make fights. And the matchup today is a tough one for the Chicago Bears across the board. I'm talking about for Allen Robinson, Jaire Alexander. I'm talking about with the receiving core, with there with Tremont Williams on Miller. It's going to be a really savage at safety, right? And Pettine will come in with three safeties. So you got to identify who's the linebackers on the field. Who are we actually going to – who's our blocking scheme accounting for? And Coach Pettine out-coached Coach Nagy really bad the last time. So – interested to see how they handle this defense this time, right? Because one turnover will change this game.
No doubt. And I want to bring our conversation to air last night. Olin and I got to hang out, and we were talking about Mitch's, you know, his growth, his game last week. He played really, really well. But, Olin, I'd like you to talk about why you think he played really, really well and maybe why he might not have as good a game this week. And you mentioned a little bit against Mike Pettine.
Well, now, as Hub knows, after the Giants game, what I thought was really interesting is Mitch stood up at the podium right after the game and said, "We won today, but enough is enough. Enough penalties. We've been playing terrible on offense. Something needs to change." And Hub can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was the next day when he said he listed what he likes to do at quarterback, basically saying, "Look, let's do this." Okay, so I don't want to take away from Mitch's improvement. I think he has taking a little more ownership of this offense and said, "Look, guys, this is the way." And we've talked about what leadership actually is, Pat, right? Like, if Miller's not running the right routes, then Mitch Trubisky, you need to grab him and spend an extra hour with him in the morning and after practice and work with him. Make sure he's where you want him to be. And it's looked like this offense has done that. But if we go all the way back to your question, Pat, Coach Marinelli in Dallas, the Monty Kiffin, the Tony Dungy, the cover two scheme, those guys are going to line up where you think they're going to line up every single time. When you go to nickel, they'll be in nickel. When you go to regular, they'll be in regular. You know exactly what they're going to line up in. You know when you run zone read, the end's going to trigger, and the linebacker's going to have the keep so you can slip your tackle up, block the linebacker, and Mitch is free. There's no really process of information, which Mitch was struggling with early in the year. So this, to me, if you're a Chicago Bears fan and you want to know how far Mitch has come, this is it. This is the game. You're on the road. Cody Whitehair and Mitch should have spent 9 hours this week going over looks, getting guys on the right guys, getting the blocking scheme straightened out. And really, Pat, really excited today to watch this offense play and see how far they've come.
And it's game two against an opponent. Yes, it's been weeks ago, but they've played the same talent, too, within the division. That's when you can kind of find how far he's come. To me, as a quarterback, you should know your division opponent. You should know your division opponent's scheme, the coach, if you played against him a couple times. And today's going to be, yeah, today's the answer. Today's like, the start of the answers, because he's got 3 weeks in front of him now to find out if he's the quarterback for the future.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out all week who I'm going to pick in this game. I, you know, normally I just stay with what I did in print, but that was last Tuesday. There are so many interesting matchups and so many questions about both football teams. But the one other thing that intrigues me, when we talked to Jim Ossarski this morning, right off the bat, really talented Packers beat reporter, Chicago guy who's working up there, the first thing he said is the thing that has killed the Packers defense the most is tight ends. And when, you know, I don't know who J.P. Holtz and Jesper Horsted are going to be a year or two or three from now. I don't know how high their ceilings are. But it was really interesting talking to their coach, Kevin Gilbride, earlier in the week. And Olin, I just got a feeling J.P. Holtz would be your kind of guy.
Yeah.
Because Gilbride, he got this big smile. He said, he just wants to hit people. He said, he just loves being out there. And he has been better at the Y position than we expected, because he doesn't always hit the right guy, but he always hits somebody.
Somebody, yeah.
And then when he gets the football, he's looking for somebody to roll over. And then the other guy, Jesper Horsted, he's fascinating as a pass catcher, but I walked out of the locker room with him yesterday. I don't know, I guess it was Friday. I forget what day it is. But we were walking out of the locker room, and he is one of those rare NFL players who you actually realize is bigger out of uniform than he is. He's not as small as I thought he was.
Right.
And he's a U. I mean, he's not going to be an inline blocker, but he is a fascinating guy right now who, you know, basically the touchdown catch against the Lions, you could say, is the difference. And then the couple plays he made last week, they've given Trubisky and Nagy trust in the position that they just didn't have 3, 4, 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, and a lot of talk was about Cody Whitehair and James Daniels moving and then the offense getting better. Well, another thing that happened was their two starting tight ends went out and their offense got better, right Pat?
Right.
And we talked about when they signed J.P. Holtz, was I think it was the second or third week of the season. It was either
It was the second week, right before Denver.
Right before Denver. And we talked about them maybe changing their identity a little bit, getting themselves, because they didn't keep a run-blocking tight end. They didn't keep a fullback. So they were going to be this spread zone read RPO offense to start the year. We all know how that went, and we all know that I formation middle of the season was their best formation, right, with J.P. Holtz back there. But last week he caught a seam route, right? Mitch checked to it. They lined up in that no huddle, a little sugar huddle, and then he caught a screen and ran a couple guys over. And like Hub said, then he's running head first into guys. They're running the San Francisco 49ers zone with on the move. He's cutting the backside.
Yes.
I mean,
him and
Quinn hit each other, Pat. I cringed on the film. I went and got an ice tub after I saw that play.
He had to be sore after that. But what's interesting, too, about this time of year is the injuries, and guys get a chance to play. Guys get a chance to make rosters next year. General managers and coaches get a chance to evaluate a guy like Jesper Horsted, who might not have gotten this opportunity. Maybe you were talking about a ceiling. Maybe he becomes a pretty darn good NFL player. And lucky for him that he gets this opportunity. And so far, he's doing everything right. The catch he made that Mitch threw, was it a couple weeks ago against the Lions? That's a heck of a catch. There's not many tight ends that can make that. So if he can grow into an NFL tight end with this opportunity he has, maybe the Bears get lucky and find somebody that way.
And interesting about today's game is, I don't think the Packers, last time the Bears played them, I know that Oren Burke, the young linebacker, was hurt. I don't think the Bears ever forced him to go really big on the field to stop the run.
Yes.
So interesting today to see if the Bears can make the Packers go regular when they get really slow at middle linebacker, and then they can get the matchup they want, Pat, because if they can keep three safeties on the field, stay in nickel or dime, then those matchups we're talking about where Jim said they're really bad covering people, it doesn't affect them as much, right? Because last time all they did was blitz Martinez.
Yeah.
Blitz Martinez and the Bears identified – that's where the Bears – identification problems really did start. So interesting to see the way Coach Nagy attacks this defense and the way Pettine likes to use all his personnel groupings.
We're going to get another quick break in here. Before we do, though, interesting headline here. I know you guys will care. I care about as much about golf as I do about quilting, but I know you guys are big golfers. Tiger Woods leads U.S. rally for President's Cup win. I thought they were like toast on Friday.
Tiger being
they?
Tiger. Captain Comeback.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He dropped the putt and took his hat off before wearing the hole and waited to shake the guy's hand.
That's awesome.
I mean, Tiger's the man.
Yeah, they were way back behind Hub. Yeah, it was
a
huge comeback.
They were down
comeback.
By more than 2-1 on Friday.
So they were over in Australia.
Never count Tiger
time.
Out,
nope.
Man.
Nope.
Never count him out.
I know they got closer yesterday, but I mean, he is, he's the Devin Hester of golf. What can I say? All right, guys. We're going to be back here in just a moment with more of the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show with Olin, with Patrick. I'm Hub. And you want to visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago as soon as you get a chance. We're back in just a moment right here on the radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No, nothing's like Green Bay, Chicago, man. It's just different. I think it's because we're in such close proximity, you know? I think it gets a little bit tighter. The last rivalry I played in was New Orleans, Atlanta. And so, you know, they got a little bit more distance, but it's always fun.
A Q Akiem Hicks talking about his experiences with the Bears-Packer rivalry and some of the best news for Bears fans in weeks. Akiem will be on the field today. 96 will be out there. I know I've been a little worried about this return all along, only because, and he confirmed it for us this week, I'm glad that he's well enough to play, but with that elbow injury, you knew he couldn't lift. And he has lost a little bit of weight, and I'm sure he's still an incredibly powerful guy. But you got to believe it's the upper body stuff that has slipped a little bit because he hasn't been able to lift. So we'll see how effective he can be. We know this. The Packers have to account for him at all times, and that will certainly make some of the guys around him better. So Olin Kreutz here, Patrick Manley here. I'm Hub Arkus. You've got the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show here at 670 The Score. Visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago as soon as you get a chance. Come on out and see us if you can. We're at the Chicago Q Restaurant all day long, 1160 North Dearborn. Got the tailgate throwdown going down with our friends from WBBM News Radio. There will be a new member of the Grilling Hall of Fame. And if you don't want to go for that, the menu here at Chicago Q is outstanding. We're going to be watching the game. We'll have post-game from here, so please come on out and see us. Right now, we're going back out to the phone lines and welcome in our buddy Dan Pompey. Dan, of course, joins us every week here on the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show. And Dan, it's funny, we've been juiced up all morning long. Bears-Packers, it's just hard not to get the feeling, and there is a lot more on the line with this one than there usually is when these two get together.
Absolutely. You know, this is the Bears' biggest game that they have played since, certainly all season long, since the playoff game last year against the Eagles. I think it's bigger for the Bears than it is for the Packers, but certainly the Packers have to try to get it on roll here. You know, they haven't been the team that they want to be completely the last few weeks, and this is the time of year when, you know, they really need to start to pick things up and come together and achieve everything that they're capable of achieving, especially on offense. And, you know, they want to make a statement, I think, against the Bears, and it's time for them to do something good, too. So, yeah, a lot at stake. And if the Bears lose this game, I think, you know, their playoff hunt is essentially going to be over.
Well, I think the key to this game, we talked about it earlier, is Matt Nagy going to stick to the Mitch-friendly offense? And you and I texted, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I went back to my text, and you said, is Matt Nagy, did he listen to the show today? Because we talked about what we wanted to see Mitch do. How impressed were you with what he did last week against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I thought it was probably his finest hour of the season, or finest 3 hours of the season, Pat. You know, it seemed like he did a lot of the things that made the Bears successful offensively in 2018, and some of the things that smart guys like you have been calling for all season long. And, you know, I think it becomes easier to call plays, obviously, when players are executing and when, you know, you've got pass protection, when you've got a running game that is keeping you out of second and long and third and long, when you're not committing stupid penalties on early downs. You know, when guys aren't dropping passes, and then occasionally when you get kind of a gift play from something that's off scripted, and all those things happened last week, and those things rarely were happening earlier in the season. So, you know, what you hope is that those things continue to happen for the Bears, and that they're able to continue to call good plays as a result of everything just kind of clicking together and the whole system kind of being in sync. And I think that's what we saw last week.
Hey, Dan, one of the most impressive things I think this year about the Bears has been Pagano's ability to keep that unit playing at a high level with all the guys they've had out with Akiem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, and Roquan Smith. What do you think about the job Pagano has done, and what do they have to do today against a very good Green Bay Packers offensive line to get pressure on Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I mean, I think Pagano's done a very good job, and he had a hard thing to do, I think, to come in and replace Vic Fangio and, you know, first and foremost to kind of get everyone believing in him and, you know, understanding that he wasn't going to be quite the same and there were going to be some changes and getting that buy-in. And you know, you guys know because you've been through different changes in coaching staff, sometimes that's not a given. And I think it happened with the Bears. And, you know, he didn't have all the same cards that Vic Fangio had all last season, as you said, because of some of these major injuries, you know, to some of their best players. So, you know, I think he's kind of kept things together up to this point. Now with Hicks coming back, they hope that they could step up to another level. I think obviously the situation with the inside linebacker position is a little bit of a concern. You know, now that you've got two backups in there and you've got them in there from the start of the game and the opposing offense knows it, you know, in terms of getting pressure on Rodgers, to me, Olin, the first thing they have to do is stop the run. Because if they don't do that, they're not going to have the right to get pressure on Rodgers. And they did that well in the first game. But since that time, the Packers running game really has kind of come together and been one of the strengths of their team. And I think that that's something that, you know, the Bears are going to have to take away the run and then hope that they can turn loose guys like Mack and Floyd, who have played so well against the Packers, better against the Packers maybe than they played against anybody else, and, you know, let them do their thing.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Need the perfect gift for family and friends? Chicago Wolves Holiday Flex Pack gives you 10 ticket vouchers, a commemorative hockey puck, and more, all for one low price. Go to ChicagoWolves.com. You know, Dan, a big part of our jobs, I mean, we spend a ton of time talking to contact sources with various teams around the league, particularly in front offices, GM, scouts, things like that. And then we also end up doing a fair amount of radio check-ins with a lot of the sports stations around the country. And I don't know about you, but I've been taken aback by some of the work I've been doing up in Wisconsin the last week, and the level of concern that there seems to be in Packerland over possibly the beginning of the, quote, decline of Aaron Rodgers. And yet I talk to people around the league, and I don't hear a soul who's worried about it at all. And I'm curious if you've run into that same kind of strange dichotomy, if you will.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed that too. It seems like the perception inside Green Bay or inside Wisconsin is different from the perception outside. And I don't know quite why that is, other than the fact that, you know, they haven't had some of the same production in the passing game that they've had in the past. But I think this is a different style of offense. And, you know, he was without Devontae Adams for much of the year. And, you know, the rest of his receivers really, you know, he doesn't have any guys other than Adams who are guys who really threaten defenses and make defenses make adjustments or, you know, are going to be in the Pro Bowl or anything like that. So, you know, I think what we've seen probably makes sense. It's also his first year with Matt LaFleur in that offense, and I think that, you know, he's too young to decline. I mean, great quarterbacks. We're seeing now guys play very well into their late 30s, and I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers' best football is ahead of him.
All right, Dan, I got to take us away from the game a little bit. You wrote an amazing piece about Brian Piccolo in The Athletic, and I enjoy reading it this week. And, you know, the Packers – oh, sorry. Olin wanted me to remind you he was a five-time Piccolo Award winner, which is I think, a record for the Bears. But the piece you wrote was amazing. There is a lot of history with the Chicago Bears, obviously, between the Packers game and this being, you know, for over, what, 200 games played. But Brian Piccolo was a huge part of the Bears' history. How much fun was it to dive deeper into his story and what he meant to the Bears, what he meant to the city of Chicago, and what he meant to every person was around him?
Yeah, it was a great experience, Pat. And by the way, you were a Piccolo Award winner as well. How many times?
No, I won the Ed Block Courage Award.
Oh, Ed Block. Okay, all right.
Ed Block Courage Award. Yes. Okay. Olin kept winning them all while I was playing. He kept taking away from me.
he hogged them all. Okay.
He did.
Well, anyway, yeah, it was a great experience. You know, having grown up in Chicago and you know, remembering the Piccolo story unfolding and watching Brian Song. You know, I think I remember watching Brian Song when it came out in 1971 with my parents, and I think that was probably the first movie other than Bambi that made me cry. So, you know, it's an iconic movie, and I think it's left an imprint. And then the book, of course, the great book by Jeannie Morris, Short Season, that captured the struggle that he went through. And really what I wanted to do was look at this 50 years later and say, you know, what's the epilogue to all this? What did it all mean? What was it for? Why did he die? And the thing that you find out when you dive into it is that, he's impacted people in a manner that is just almost beyond explanation for a guy who was, probably, frankly, a below-average NFL football player, who has just left an incredible imprint. You know, it's kind of like a pebble in the ocean that causes ripples that become waves that crash into shores all over the world. And they've raised about $12 million in his name. They have, in the time that since he died, testicular cancer, the cure rate now is 95%. And at the time that he got it, it was pretty much a death sentence. So he's got a wonderful legacy. And, his wife, Joy, and his three daughters remain very active with the Chicago Bears and the community. And it remains a wonderful story. It's probably a better story now than it was in 1971.
Yeah, it's funny because I've probably watched Brian's song 10 times, and about a year ago I was thinking, I haven't seen it in so long. I sat down with Candace and I watched it and just bawled like a baby. But I've gotten soft in my old age, so that tends to happen.
Oh, it's a touching story, man. It's and Dan, real quick, it was great. I mean, I sat down and read it, and it's just, you did a great job of bringing all that history back. And whether you're a Bears fan or not, get your hands on it, get your eyes on it, and read it, because you did a terrific job.
All righty, Dan, it is that time. What do you think happens up at Lambeau today?
Well, how about I look at this game and I see a lot of ways the Bears can win it. And, I think the confusing thing is we really still don't know what the Bears are based on the quality of opponents they've been playing lately. So it's a little confusing. But you look at how the offense came together, as we spoke of earlier. You look at the return of Akeem Hicks. You look at even the return of Prince Amukamara. And, the feeling is that the Bears are kind of trending upwards. And the Packers really might be trending downwards, or at least, they have not been clicking on all cylinders their last few games. So I am picking the Bears in this game. I've got them winning 23-21. That being said, I'm very concerned that everybody's picking the Bears, and that's never a good sign. I know on our TV show, just about everybody picked the Bears. I saw the Tribune this morning, just about everyone picked the Bears. I think that's something that always concerns me, because if we're all seeing the same thing and the Bears are an underdog by, I'm not sure what the line is right now. I know it was five or four earlier in the week. I don't know if we're seeing the right thing or not.
All righty, Dan. Well, we certainly hope you're right. Enjoy the game. Have a great week, and we will talk to you again next Sunday.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
That is the Hall of Fame NFL writer, Dan Pompey, a regular here on The Score all week long and every week on the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show with Patrick and Olin and myself. Make sure that you visit Ameristar's new sportsbook in East Chicago. We're going to take one last break, but before we do, I got to tell you guys, come on out to Chicago Q Restaurant today. We're over here at 1160 North Dearborn. It is a great, great spot, and the tailgate throwdown is going on. As we speak, there will be a new member of the Grilling Hall of Fame. Big Cat Williams and Emery Moorhead are here to judge the competition. The food is outstanding. The beer is cold. The drinks are flowing. Going to be watching Bears-Packers today. We'll kick off the postgame immediately following the final gun here with Patrick Manley and Big Cat Williams and myself. After that, it'll be the post-post with Big Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz. Right here at The Score, we'll take you up to Sunday Night Football, Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Only place for the NFL all day long is The Score. We're back with you here in just a moment.
Mindset doesn't change, just prepare the same. We have a great room. Pretty sure if Jay Woods or Iggy goes in there, they're going to do their own version of the same and just do what we can do to help this team prepare for each week we have going.
That was KPL. I feel like he did last week, and a couple times when he's come off the bench, and you get your own acronym, Kevin Pierre-Lewis. So it's Quentin KPL. Started with Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith, and now Pat, it's the craziest thing, because I know we talked during the off season, and I felt coming into the season that the Bears had arguably the best pair of inside linebackers in the NFL. You would think with both of them down, you'd be a little panicked today. the way Kwiatkowski has played.
Kwiatkowski's played great.
He's played really well.
He's making himself a lot of money.
Well, and Kevin is the same exact kind of body type player, quick twitch kind of guy as Roquan. He's not Roquan. I'm not going to pretend that. And I'm not even sure that Kwit is Trevathan yet, because Danny is still going to be better in coverage, a little more athletic. But the Bears have got huge decisions to make because of the whole group. Roquan's the only one who's under contract after this year. That'll be interesting. But for right now, we've only got a couple minutes left and just got to stay focused on today. This normally gets me going. Something about this one this morning has just flown by. Cannot wait for this football game. And you know, Pompey just said it. The only thing that is making me nervous, to be honest with you, is this confidence in the Bears that feels kind of like the confidence going into the opener.
Yeah.
And the difference, though, I think, is that it was obvious early in that game they weren't ready. I just think they got too caught up in the whole 100th celebration thing, the whole offseason, the convention, it went on. And then as much as I continue to be a Matt Nagy fan, I do not believe in his preseason plan. And I think they weren't ready for that game. This is a different feel as far as that goes. Being up there all week, I think they are ready.
I got to disagree with you on one part of not being ready. The defense was ready.
Yeah.
It was fun to go back and watch
defense
that game.
Defense played its best game of the year.
Yes, yes. And it was fun to go back and watch that defense play. I think there was one long pass. They had a little busted coverage. They went down and scored a field goal on that one. They had a long play with a pass interference call. So there weren't many plays, but there were two big plays that they got their 10 points out of it. So the defense was ready. But, yeah, that offense was horrible.
Well,
I mean, just horrible.
Yeah, and exactly what it was, and it's not Deion's fault, but it was the one series of the night that Deion Bush was on the field for Hawk Clinton Dix. Yeah. It was Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Deion either got the wrong call. Prince thought he had help, 43-yarder. Two plays later, Jimmy Graham posts up.
That was just the jump ball.
I think that might have been against Bush, too. The game was not his fault.
Right.
But that was really it. And the defense really, until I know they ended up giving up 24 points in the Cowboys game, but they played
that was garbage time points.
To me, that was the first time that they really kind of resembled that group we saw the first week.
Agreed. And that's what I think what you see now, or what we talked about in the offseason, we wanted the defense to stay at the same level. And we talked they couldn't reach the turnover level, and they didn't do it, obviously, this year. And if they do, it'll be amazing the last three games. But you wanted the offense to take that next step. They kind of have the last couple weeks. It's a different-looking offense that Matt Nagy probably wants to see, but it's effective and it's working. So they have taken that step. If the defense can play close to the way they did in the first week and the offense can play like they did the last 2 weeks, granted it's much against much better talent today, then the Bears can come out on top. And let's see, because I'm really excited for these next 3 weeks, obviously for today, to see how well Mitch does against Mike Pettine and that defense that has given him a lot of trouble.
So here's the only thing that scares me about – I mean, Aaron Jones scares me and, you know, some other things, the Smith brothers. But the one thing that really does kind of scare me about this game, I can't count the number of times that I really still believe the Bears were the better team and Aaron Rodgers beat them anyway.
Yeah.
And that's the factor that I just don't know how to overcome. You know?
Well, I'm writing down stuff over here and kind of convincing myself of how the Bears are going to win. And the one thing is you always look at the turnover battle. It is so hard to beat the Packers in the turnover battle because he doesn't throw interceptions. Mm-hmm. So you can't count on that. You got to maybe get one on special teams or get lucky and punch one out from the running back or get one strip on the wide receiver. But that's why the Green Bay Packers always win the turnover battle, and I just don't see them winning today. So to me, the Bears have to limit their turnovers.
Well, and here's the one other thing that I think is a little misunderstood. People keep saying, well, Mitch throws interceptions. The fact is he's only thrown five picks all year long. The problem is that they've all been pretty costly. I mean, he throws them at the wrong time, unfortunately.
He has, but he's also had some big throws lately to get him into games and to win games. So, you know, like we said, this is a big game for him. He's got 3 weeks to make a lot of money, to make guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a chance to make money, obviously, down the road, but to go ahead and get that paycheck. And then me as a fan, I want to start feeling more comfortable. I want to start feeling more confident and be able to answer that question when you get asked, is Mitch the guy? I want to be able to say yes, but we'll see.
All righty, man. It is time. What do you think happens?
I always go back and forth between being player and media guy, but against the Packers, I got to be player. But I've talked myself into the Bears winning this, and I truly think they can. Like I said, if their offense can continue playing Mitch ball, if Matt Nagy will call that, they can put points on the board. But he's got to be able to identify where all the pressure's coming. And I think defensively, they'll be fine against Aaron Rodgers. He's a little off this year. They've just been inconsistent. So I have the Bears winning 23-17.
I have struggled with this all week long, as I said, because of the Rodgers factor. But at the end of the day, I just think right now, today, yes, at noon, the Bears are the better team.
I agree with you.
And so I've got it Bears 26, Packers 23. And you know, man, more than anything, for everybody in Chicago, it really makes the next 2 weeks build, you know? And so I certainly hope we're right. So, guys, it is time for us to run, but we've got a lot of thanks to hand out. Of course, Mark Grody and Dan Pompey, who join us here every week. Great job on the pregame as well. The Where Are They Now this week was with Devin Hester, and I'm guessing it's going to be a podcast or somewhere at the website. Get over there and hear it. Devin was great.
Yes,
and as Olin pointed out, if you got young football players in the family, you want to hear what he talked about because he was really special. Guys, our crew, studs. Adam Staszynski is our executive producer back in the studio. Marshawn Robinson doing some double duty here today, engineering and kind of helping produce as well. A big crew from promotion. The boss, Tyler Birchmeyer, is here. Matt Doyle, Brandon Olson, Cooper Kaplan, Max Falstich. Everybody out helping out because we got the tailgate throwdown going on here at Chicago Q Restaurant, 1160 North Dearborn. Come on out and see us. We're going to watch the game now. We got postgame from here. Most of all, we want to thank all of you so much for listening. We hope to see you this afternoon. If not, be sure and call us on the postgame. It will be Patrick, Big Cat, and myself to start it out the first couple hours, then Olin and Big Ant with the postgame. For right now, though, guys, kickoff is a few minutes away. Go Bears!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.